Saving Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, brought to you by Duff, the gift that just keeps on giving. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Just chilling, man. Isn't that the truth? We love Duff.
Dude.
Duff is the best.
Duff is freaking me out, man. Like, stuff just keeps showing up on my doorstep. And it's to the point now, like, I got a package from him this week. And my dad's response was, I really hope it's not a mail bomb. Because random stuff just she keeps showing up at my house. I'm like, no, Dad, it's not a mail bomb.
That's also the most your dad thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that is like, you know what I think should happen? I just thought of this. I think that I should start a Twitter with random stuff that my dad says.
Yeah.
Right? Like, nobody knows my dad. They haven't spent time around my dad, but I really should. I should start a Twitter with random stuff that my dad says.
Yeah.
Because he's like Kratos, but real.
Yeah. And yeah, a little more conspiracy theorist.
Yes. But I did. I told him Duff wasn't going to blow us up. He gives us stuff.
Yeah, and he's a good guy. By the way, also, good chance that some very fun E3 content will be coming provided by Duff as well that we're pumped about. We'll keep you in a little suspense about that, but should make for some really, really fun E3 content.
Although, I've noticed, he did mention the other day, I don't know if you saw it on the text thread, but not only are we supposed to provide content with that, but I think he would like it to be not sober content.
Right. Yeah, I think he did request some drinking along with that, which should be fun.
Yeah. Cause,
good times.
Because let's face it, we're way more entertaining when we're not exactly sober than we are right. When we are sober. So
it's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair.
It's kind of sad, but it's true. So all that being said, I'm really excited about E3. Like, we got lots of big stuff coming, and I've been to your house before, but this is going to be a whole different ball game.
Yeah, we've got big plans. There's exciting stuff happening. It's going to be really cool. I'm pumped about it. I think it's going to be a big deal.
You were actually talking about tech before we turned on the mics. Do we want to talk about that, or do we want to save that?
We'll save it. Yeah, we'll leave the suspense out there. But we do have some tech that should make for some more fun production stuff happening for E3 this year. And so we're trying to step it up. I'll go ahead and talk a little bit deeper into this if you don't mind. We're not, again, gonna, we've got so many things we're working on that we're not trying to give away. But we also want to tease it so y'all know that there's stuff working, especially since we've been so incredibly slow on doing shows and everything else. Do know that we're here and working and looking for ways to grow and change things to work in a smoother and hopefully more regular fashion, which we're kind of planning to launch around E3 with some kind of rebranding stuff and an update to the website and just all kinds of fun stuff that I think is going to be really worthwhile. That's going to be both fresh and yet still us and Gaming Uncensored. And so, I think it's going to be really cool. This is a part of that. E3 is going to be maybe kind of a soft kickoff to a lot of that stuff, but with trying to step up what we do, being us and doing the things that we do, but making it look a little prettier and making it feel a tad bit more professional, if that's not going out on a limb too far.
Well, I'm trying not to laugh because the first 30 seconds of that sounded like a commercial for constipation, like,
right?
You're talking about being regular and exactly.
There's some definite analogies I think we could make there.
Yeah, and considering the fact that we're both getting older,
things happen.
They do. And that's a whole other conversation right there.
Yeah, it is. Some other day, for sure.
Actually, that will probably happen around E3 with alcohol and things. So, yeah, I look forward to that.
That's fair. Definitely possible. So, all that to say, E3 is going to be a lot of fun. I'm pumped about it. I know you're pumped about it. We're going to do some cool stuff, and I think y'all are really going to enjoy it. And we're all going to have a good time.
Yes. Yes, we are. And we have done this for like 13 years now, and to be totally honest, I'm hoping that this year is going to be the best content-wise that we've ever done. I love the fact that you live in Dallas, because there's all kinds of people in Dallas, all kinds of money in Dallas. And I had I don't know if I was daydreaming or what you would call it, but I had this idea. Crap, we should really find some way to get ourselves to Mark Cuban, because I think Mark Cuban would find us really, really entertaining.
I don't know if I told you. I know where he lives. I've actually been to his neighbor's house, somebody that lives just right down the street from him. So we could go just prop up outside his house. He does have armed security on site 24/7, so it's kind of at our own risk.
They're not going to shoot a handicapped guy. Come on.
Right. So one of us is in the clear.
No. You're in the clear also, because you're the dude with the handicap guy.
I don't know if it works that way.
We need a shirt for you that says, I'm with the cripple.
Right. Don't shoot me.
Yeah.
He needs me.
Yeah.
We're in this together.
Yeah. Teamwork.
Right.
Teamwork. But yes. Yeah, I like that idea. Let's think about that, because I did. Like, I'm doing my normal Wednesday thing, and I had this brilliant idea, because I was in the standing frame today, and to distract myself from the fact that the standing frame really, really hurts, I was watching Despicable Me 3, and while I'm watching Despicable Me 3 with Steve Carell, laughing at Steve Carell, it just occurred to me that, like, hey, we need, like, Mark Cuban. That's who we need. So
yeah.
Now you're telling me you know where his house is.
I do.
And I'm thinking, like, we might be on the right track here. So we just need to get you some body armor and we'll be all good.
There we go.
Yeah.
We'll be set. I think it's a good plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a sign. Don't shoot the guy with the cripple.
Yes. I love it. I love it.
Good times.
So, that all of that being said, I know you've had a busy life over there. So,
that's true.
Do we want to talk about all that?
Sure, I'll mention some things going on. So, baby's doing good. So that's always a good place to start. Little girl is awesome. She's growing. She's 3 months old as of a couple of days ago, and so she's killing it. She's the best baby of all time. She sleeps awesome. She's like sleeping 6 or 7 hours a night at this point, which is kind of nuts. And so we're getting lots of sleep. She's happy. She doesn't fuss much. It's good. I have been insanely busy, though, the past 2 or 3 weeks or so, in both that it's the end of the semester, and so that's always just a busy time of year for somebody who works in higher ed. But also in that the sexy sidekick for people who are around on Facebook, some of y'all know this already, had her gallbladder removed about a week and a half ago, and so there was a lot of build up to that. That was a little insane. She's doing great. She's recovering well, which is good news. I'm very, very, very grateful for that. And she handled it like a champ. But did make our lives insanely busy, and so trying to balance work and home life and all that stuff, and then taking care of a 2.5-month-old in the middle of all of that has made it where I have not slept a ton. I hadn't slept a ton anyway because of a baby, but slept maybe even less being on 24/7 parent duty as opposed to splitting the parent duty for a week or so. And so, and then had a trip to Memphis in that for work as well. And so part of why it's taken us a long time to do a show, just lots of stuff going on. Yeah, everything's good. We're all happy and healthy and doing fine, and so that's good. It's just been nuts.
By the way, on the work thing, I have to mention, because you don't really do this thing, and when I saw the thing on Facebook, I was like, yeah, he'd like to kill somebody right now. but it did not occur to me until your boss posted the fact that you have been a higher educator for 10 years.
A full freaking decade.
10 years.
Yeah.
That's
nuts.
Do you have any idea how old that makes me feel?
You're telling me. Yeah. We are ancient.
That's insane. That I know a guy that has been involved in higher education for 10 freaking years.
Yep.
And you haven't gotten fired yet, which is nuts.
I have not. After like 10 years, it's 10 year, right? Sorry for a terrible higher ed pun. it would be, that'd be hard for them to fire me unless I drastically screw up, which I suppose isn't totally out of the question. And then they would be within their rights to fire me. But truly, I love the place I work and I love my job. It's stressful and it's busy and all this stuff. But yeah, it's been good. I've enjoyed it. It's shocking that it's been 10 years. And it's shocking that we started doing the show before I got that job. And so this show has existed for 3.5 years more than that or whatever.
Well, like, so. What's crazy to me is you've been a higher educator for 10 years and this show has survived that.
Right. Yeah. So we've gotten over that hurdle. Now the hurdle of parenthood. So far, so good. We'll try to keep it up. Yes, I appreciate that. That's kind of you to bring up.
And, well, that's not. I do it because you won't do it. And like, you're like, I know you've been for like a month trying to figure out how to bury that picture on Facebook.
Right.
And your lovely wife keeps like doing things to make it pop back up, which I think is really funny.
So,
there's that. And I have to say, seeing that made me realize that I probably wasted the last 10 years of my life. I'm glad that one of us is maybe on the right track. Because I'm like,
I mean,
yeah, I could have been that guy, but not so much.
You know, I mean, we've done the show. The show's good. That's a big deal, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, we're still broke.
That's fair. That is entirely fair and doesn't seem to be changing anytime.
But
soon,
so. But we have to say we have we're way and we were talking about this before before we fired up the mics. We are way less broke than we used to be, and we are much more spoiled than we used to be, thanks to you people. And the only problem is that we've been spoiled for the better part of 2 years now, and I kind of like being spoiled.
Right.
So, yeah, that better not stop anytime soon.
Yeah, it's a good chance to mention we are approaching the 2 year anniversary of our Patreon, and so if you would like to support us on Patreon, you can do that by going by gamingandcensored.com, and the Patreon link is right there at the top of the page. And as we've been talking about, Jamie's coming here. We've got big plans for E3, and we're psyched about it. It's going to be awesome. But it does cost money. There's a cost involved for travel and all that kind of stuff. And so if you have it in you to support what we're doing, you like what we're doing, you want to toss us a few bucks, you can do that via Patreon. We have a PayPal as well. That's right there on the website, too. And so feel free, if you're feeling generous, to go by and help us out. And we will take that and turn it into content for you that you will then have access to and hopefully make it entertaining.
And I have to mention that a crippled guy traveling is not a cheap thing.
It's not.
It's just not. We
there's a lot of logistics involved.
We thought that we had a cheap way around the accommodation thing, and I was really excited about that. And you went to check that out yesterday, and it was like, not so much.
Yeah.
So now we're back to spending some money for a place to stay, which is it kind of makes me cringe when right. I think about how much money I'm spending for the time that I'm gonna be there. but I am excited. I'm very happy about it. But like he said, if you have it in your heart to throw us some money, I'm not even going to say a couple bucks because it's more than a couple bucks. But if you have it in your heart to do that, we will get you some awesome content. Let's just put it to you this way. We're not going to really tell you what's coming. Let's just say that we might end up in some exotic locales before it's all over. So
we might make it to E3.
We might make it to E3. We might make it to space. Like, we could theoretically.
Fantastic.
We could get you content from the moon.
Sounds fun.
If we really wanted to. So
raise enough money.
Yes. if we can raise enough money, we will give you content from the moon. We have the technology.
I like it.
And I'm so excited because you told me about the technology like 10 minutes before we started the show here. And my brain's doing all kinds of things like, hey, we can do this and we can do this. And like, we can maybe even make it look like I can walk. Like, we got all kinds of options here. I never really thought of us as like a comedy team, but we could be a really bad impersonation of Abbott and Costello if we really wanted to.
There you go. I could do that.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't encourage you to give us money, I don't know what will.
Yes, because let's just say that the possibilities at this point are endless. And you know what I'm realizing? Because I work in a technology shop, I work with two guys. I'm telling you about this. I work with two guys that are younger guys. And I have realized working with these guys who should be the way that I am, but they're not. I'm learning that I may be a technology whore. And I might have a small problem because they talk about what they have spent on their computers and kind of what they did. And then I go, well, I spent this. And they go, wow. And then I start thinking about it, and I'm like, man, I might have a problem. Because one of them actually said, I think you just like having this stuff. Like, I think I'm like that guy that's like, yeah, I got this. And nobody else on the block has it.
Right.
So I never thought of myself that way, but there may be some truth there.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's perfectly fair.
You've known me for a long time, and I think it might be true. I hate to admit it, but I do like having lots of fancy technology.
Sure.
So
I do too. Technology's fun, for sure. Speaking of, just to brag, now that you've given me the opportunity, I'm playing on my fancy new iPad right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You got yourself an upgrade, did you?
I got myself an upgrade because I was still running on an iPad 2 that just doesn't do crap anymore. It is so dead. So yeah, I've got one of the fancy new, not an iPad Pro, which would have been the dream, but also ridiculously expensive, but one of the new iPads that's nice, super nice, and so can do all kinds of fun stuff, and so also excited to figure out how we can utilize some fun stuff with that. So all the tech.
So I'm wondering about the iPad. What does the new iPad have that the old iPads did not have?
It's just nicer. It's just upgraded all the stuff, you know. It has Apple Pencil support, which is cool. I mean, one of the primary reasons I got it is for education purposes, for to use with classes and stuff, which I've used my iPad for in the past, which is always nice. And so does cooler presentation things, all that fun stuff. But also just allows me to play games again on my iPad, which is something, again, my iPad 2 is just so old at this point. Like, it's just, like, aged out of being able to be updated, and so stuff just doesn't work with it. And so having the ability to play games on my iPad again is really fun.
So I'm just thinking about this because your job has now gotten you an iPad. Your job has gotten the new tech that will possibly put us on the moon. And I'm wondering if there might be a way that your job could get your crippled friend some stuff while we're at it. Because I'm liking this idea. Like,
right?
Like, I like, can we work on that? Because
right.
your job's paying for some cool stuff right now.
It is. Yeah. It's handy. Yeah, I'll take it.
I mean, I don't need a lot. I just need a few things here.
Yeah, no, it's that's fair. Yeah, it is nice for having excuses to buy stuff that's fun to play with.
And remember, we used to be like broke. We used to not have anything.
I know.
And
we've definitely come a long ways from our hanging a mic from the ceiling days.
Boy, I do miss those days. Which I don't know if you saw on Facebook. I think I tagged you, but I mentioned the fact that I was coming to town, and I actually did it to let people know I was going to be in town, and that I needed to speak because we need to find a way to pay for this freaking trip. And what I got back was, we don't know where you can speak, but dude, let's do lunch.
Right.
And one of the guys that mentioned, hey, dude, let's do lunch, is our buddy Troy, who has been with us off and on for years, quite literally.
Yeah.
And I got the crazy idea that since he opened his mouth, we might have to have Troy on the show for E3.
Right.
That might have to happen. And one of the great benefits of having Troy on the show for E3 is that we might have to hang a mic from the ceiling. And I'd like to do that. I really
would. It
would
be fun.
Yeah.
The good old days of hanging a mic from the ceiling. Because we did it. That's not being facetious. We literally hung a mic from the ceiling for the first several episodes of this show.
How do we not have video of that? Like,
because it was 2003 or whatever, 2005, right?
Yeah.
That we didn't have, like, cameras on our phones. It was archaic times.
Right. It's too bad. Too bad we didn't get some video of that, because that would have been entertaining. I think I hit myself in the head with the mic numerous times. Which
yes.
That was vastly entertaining for us.
It was also very entertaining, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, good times.
So, so now that we've spent the first 20 minutes of the show talking about absolutely nothing, should we get to the news?
We should, because we've got lots of news to talk about. I'll mention I have played no games since last we did the show. I played a few things, again, on my fancy iPad and on my phone. But God of War has been sitting just calling to me for 3 weeks, and I haven't touched it, which breaks my heart.
Yes.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully soon. But we do have lots of news to catch up on in lieu of talking about stuff we've been playing. Although, I will present you the opportunity if there's anything that you've been playing that you want to talk about, by all means.
I have played more of Divinity, which I'm telling you, man, it is freaky, this thing, how much it is digital D&D. Like, it is awesome. And I'm really enjoying it. I haven't played a ton of it because I really feel like that we need to get some time. We need to get the crew together, and we all need to be playing this. That's part of the reason I haven't ventured out and done a whole lot of stuff, because I'm waiting on that, because this is the ultimate, like, group experience.
Sure.
So I definitely want that to happen. I'm still playing Mankind Divided. I'm trying to get that finished, and the reason it's going slower than it should be is I record every time that I play, so I'm recording and editing as I go, and I'm still loving that game. Dude, if you haven't played that game yet, you really need to pick it up and play it.
I believe you. I have it, because it was on the PlayStation Network free games a couple months ago. So it's sitting on my PlayStation, but have not.
It is good stuff, and you definitely need to check it out. And I'm forever realizing the fact that my Steam library is huge. And,
right.
And if we ever get to the point where this show is all we have to do with our lives, which would be the most amazing thing ever, I think I could play games every day for 6 years and not get through my Steam library.
I believe you.
Like, do you feel the same way? Because
I do, yeah, absolutely.
I think our Steam libraries are getting ridiculous at this point.
Yeah. I hate it every time I open up Steam and go, oh, I need to play all these games. And then I go immediately to the store and go, oh, this is on sale, I'll buy that. And then I have more games in my library that I'm not going to get to.
Well, so. And that's part of the reason we love you people, because we go, oh, this is on sale, and they gave us money, so we'll buy that.
Yes. Which is great, we just don't have time to play it. Now, if you can magically gift us time, if there's a Patreon for time, we should sign up for that.
Well, you know what would get us more time?
More money?
Yeah, more money. Like, seriously, we had more money, and we didn't have...
We could have more time.
Right, exactly.
It's good rationale, good logic.
I saw this thing, you know, there's a zillion like do-it-yourself businesses on the internet. Uh-huh. There was this one dude, because if you find one of these videos, they're hilarious because they go for like an hour long and they're about how you can make a million on the internet, but they don't actually tell you anything. And I watched this one with this one dude that liked all this stuff so much that he actually did videos from the inside of his Ferrari, right? And his whole thing was that he didn't call money money. He called money freedom units because they allowed you to do whatever it was that you wanted to do whenever you wanted to do it. And I never really thought of that, but that's great. Whoever, like, if he came up with the idea of calling freedom money units. Freedom units, that's actually what it is.
That's
right?
Wonderful.
Like, yeah. I love that. So if we had more freedom units, then we would have more time.
Yep, that's fair. And so if you want to give us some freedom units, you can do that via Patreon.
Yes. And I love the fact that I remember that from the video because, to be totally honest with you, I have no idea what that guy's name was. But I remember that.
You remember freedom units.
Yeah, that totally sucked. Because like he was like, I made all of this and I did all of this, but I'm not about stuff. I'm about the freedom units, and that stuck with me and will for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So,
that's fair. That's entertaining.
Yes.
I like it. All that being said, should we jump into the news?
Yes.
We are going to start with something that I'm pumped about, and I would only imagine that you are too, and have to thank guys over at the Facebook for this. The first time I saw it, at least, was guys posting this on the Facebook page. Microsoft has announced what they're calling the Xbox Adaptive Controller, which is a modular Xbox controller that's built specifically for accessibility needs. The base controller is kind of, you gotta go by the show notes and see a picture of it if you haven't seen a picture of it, because I'm gonna try to explain it. I'm gonna not do it justice, but kind of think the kind of base unit as being somewhat like an old school NES controller with a D-pad and two face buttons, but the face buttons are really, really big. The controller is about a foot long and about half a foot wide, and so you can put it on your lap, which I know is a helpful thing. Or on a lap board or something like that. But the super cool thing about it is that, at least from my perspective, of course I want to hear your thoughts about this, but the thing I'll mention really quick about it is that it's expandable using all kinds of different peripherals, in that it has, I think, 19 jacks on it that you can plug in a different kind of button or controller or sensor, whatever, for every single button that's on a standard Xbox controller. So it makes it this very personalizable, modular, accessible gaming controller that's going to work with the Xbox and the PC, and will launch at $100 is what the cost of it when it goes on sale. I don't think there's a date for when it's coming yet, but it's coming and it's cool, and I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay, so I've been trying to build this exact thing for like the length
just about the entire time I've known you.
Right. This is the thing that I've been trying to build, okay? And the thing with this, what I love about this is that it's modular, because when I started trying to build this or find somebody to help me put it together, I had an idea of what I wanted and what I needed, and I realized the other day that I'm 39 years old, and my body does not work the way that it used to work, like, as depressing as that sounds. So I think I know what I need, but I realized the other day, I don't know. I know what I want mentally in my head. Sure. But the cool thing about this is I may get what I think I need, and that may not work. And so if that doesn't work, then I have all these other options to try and figure out what it is that I need, because my hands and the rest of my body don't work like they did 10 years ago. And that, I'm not saying that to be depressing, that's just the truth. And so I love the idea of the flexibility of this thing, because to be honest, when I get it, it's going to be a lot of trial and error between you and I to try and figure out what I need to make this work. And I say you and I because you're going to be the guy, probably, that helps me configure it.
Yeah. I hope so, because I'm really excited about that, actually. I am excited for that kind of the trial and error process, outside of the fact that it's going to cost money to figure out what works and doesn't work, and so there's that component to it. But the idea that this is so customizable that it's designed to be whatever you need it to be. Microsoft worked in a partnership with a bunch of different organizations, including Able Gamers, who we've gotten a chance to speak to before, which is cool, the Cerebral Palsy Foundation, Craig Hospital, Warfighter Engage, and several other organizations to kind of, you know, say, hey, what do you need? Like, what are the missing things? And the genesis of this kind of came out of the Xbox, what is it called? Their Pro Controller, their Elite Controller, whatever. I forget what the exact name of it is. But when they put that out, one of the things that they found, kind of
it's
a secondary
thing. It's the Elite Controller.
The Elite Controller. Because it was modular, that there were a lot of gamers who had disabilities that were saying, hey, this is helpful. But it's not there yet, because it's still not as accessible as it could be. But Microsoft saw the market for this that you've been talking about for years and years and years of us doing this show, that there's such a market for it. They finally became aware of it, I guess, with people saying, hey, this Elite controller is kind of on the right track, but it's not there yet. And so they went, oh, we see you now, you know, kind of thing.
Well,
and said, let's figure out what it is that's going to make it practical, what's going to make it doable.
And the thing that makes me snicker about this whole deal is that, and I'm saying this because I'm loud and honest and all of that, but this is not really about accessibility. And it's not really about Microsoft helping people. They got enough people yelling that they're like, holy crap, there's money here. And
sure.
And I hate to be that guy, but that I honestly think, yeah, they probably want to help, but they also want to make a buck.
Sure. And can I say, as a capitalist, that that's kind of how we want it to work?
Well,
you know, like you can't expect a company to just be charitable in something like this. It's finding that balance. It's finding a need that exists in the gaming industry, which absolutely does. And excited about that. I'm gonna take a short aside. Remind me now. I'm blanking on the guy's name, but we had the guy from Able Gamers on.
Do you Steven.
Steven, thank you. One of the things he said when we talked to him that stuck with me, obviously more than his name, and I apologize for that.
Steven Fife is his name.
Yeah, we had him on the show. This was a few years back now or whatever. But one of the things that he said that stuck with me since that day that I talked to him is I made some offhand comment. I was like, well, this isn't something that I need because I don't need an accessible controller. I don't have any kind of disability or impairments or whatever. And I kind of made a point, and he stopped me and he said, that's true right now, but at some point you will. Like, you're going to age, or you might get into an accident or whatever. Like, at some point, you're going to need help with
this. And then it opened up. And then you got run over by a truck.
Right. Like, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean.
And it made it a little bit more real, which is fair. practical application there. But it really did. It stuck with me because it's a really good point of, even though I at this point in my life don't have a need for an accessible controller, I am really good friends with someone who does. And so I see that need and I appreciate that need and I want to see that need filled. But also just from a personal level, there's a good chance at some point, again, I could go out and get hit by a truck again and lose an arm or whatever, and suddenly playing games is going to be a lot different. And so even if you're not somebody who currently is looking for a controller with a bunch of accessibility options, at some point there's a good chance you will need it. And so it's something that seems like it is so needed in the marketplace, and as being something in the marketplace, something that they're obviously going to charge money for and need to make a profit off of and all that kind of stuff. And so, again, it's finding that balance. But it's something that didn't really exist before. Like, we haven't talked about the plethora or the mainstream accessibility controllers that are out on the market. Now there's going to be one.
Well, the thing that surprised me was it hasn't existed for the last 15 years. Before the last 15 years, I could find a controller that was more accessible and worked for me. And I'm guessing that there are a lot of guys out there that were the same way. And all of that started when analog kicked in. Yeah. And so it's not like it's never existed before. It's not like it's that this is some sort of massive revelation. It's that in the last 15 years, it didn't exist because somehow, somewhere, somebody in the gaming industry said, okay, this stuff that we had before and this stuff that we had from the beginning of gaming is not making money, so we need to not do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's really only been about 15 years, but that's a long time.
Yeah, and I'll say, when you and I started hanging out and playing games together, like, we played console games together, you had a joystick that worked for most of, or a lot of what we were playing at the time. I remember playing, what I don't remember what game it was, but some arcade NBA game.
Fade Away!
Yeah. Oh, we had a good time with.
Yeah.
I had a good time with it. I thought you were going to run me over. It was fun. All that to say is there was a time where you and I played console games together because you had a controller that worked. But that hasn't been that for at least the last 10 years plus. When you and I started hanging out, this is how long we've been hanging out and about how long we've been doing this show. The GameCube was still like the big deal, you know,
right.
Like we were playing games on a GameCube. There was the GameCube, PlayStation 2, kind of the end of that console cycle that you and I started hanging out on. So, yeah, it's been a while. And back then, you're right. You had something that worked and haven't really had anything since then that's worked. And so the great thing about this, at least it seems like to me, and one of the things that we'll have a lot of fun doing and hopefully be able to generate a lot of good, fun content from, is that we're going to get to find out like what works and what doesn't work, and for you specifically. And that's, I think, such a big deal with the accessibility conversation, is that there's just so many different needs. Like, there's no one-size-fits-all controller, and why something like this that's modular makes so much sense is because people who have accessibility issues all have different accessibility issues. You might not have an arm, or you might not have a leg, or you might not whatever. You'd be able to fully use one hand, but be able to use the other hand more. Whatever it is, there's all these different varieties of that. And so it'll be interesting just working with you of seeing what works and what doesn't work for your specific circumstance, but there's going to be other circumstances as well.
And so, well, yeah. And we talked about the money thing earlier when I started screaming about this 15 years ago. Yeah, I wanted accessibility. Yeah, I wanted to play games. But I also wanted to put my face on whatever gear that I came up with.
Right.
And I still feel like, and I haven't really done anything because I feel like somebody other than me needs to be the person to do it. I still feel like that I could very easily be a guy that is like the face of this kind of stuff.
Sure.
I mean, because the one thing that I've been blessed with is that, A, other than the wheelchair, I look like a normal dude, and B, other than sounding slightly drunk, I sound mostly like a normal dude. And I really feel like for something like this, I can speak for a lot of people that may not have that ability. So I still, and I said something on the Facebook page, but I really feel like that you and I need to get in touch with Microsoft and say, hey, what can we do here? Sure. Is there, because I feel like, and we've been talking about this for a couple of years, there needs to be a space for a guy or several guys at all of the major companies that their job is to talk about accessibility. Because this controller's great. I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a blast for us. But this controller is not going to be the be-all and end-all to accessibility. It's going to be an ongoing, evolving process. And I feel like that me and guys like me should have jobs or consulting gigs or whatever with every game company out there talking about accessibility. Because, just as an example, somebody was talking to me about Overwatch the other day. Somebody came to the store and was talking about the fact that he played Overwatch. And I haven't touched Overwatch. And one of the main reasons why is because it's too fast and I know I can't keep up. Like, I want to enjoy Overwatch, but after about 10 minutes of getting nailed consistently, I know it's not going to be fun for me, so I haven't touched it. And I feel like that even on the game side of things, there are different things that you can do to make people with disabilities more competitive from a software side. And I may be completely wrong there, but I've been thinking about that for a while. Even like somebody was talking to me about a couple years ago, I think we brought it up on the show. Naughty Dog did something with the end of the last Uncharted to be able to, so that a guy could mash the button down and it would repeatedly do what he needed to do so he could get through the end of the game. It's little stuff like that. And it's an everyday thing. And I really feel like that there ought to be spaces in these companies for people with disabilities.
Yeah. I 100% agree. And like I said, having that exposure of being around you for the past 15 years or so, like I appreciate that obviously much more than I would have before. And I hope people that listen to the show have that same appreciation at least a different level than if you don't personally know somebody who has accessibility issues when it comes to gaming, that there is a really big community of people out there that love games and want to play more and just have these accessibility problems that can be fixed. And so now what I'm also hoping for is that because Microsoft is getting into this and it's a big name with Xbox branding and everything on one of these accessibility controllers, that it brings other big names into it as well. And of course, seeing Sony participate or Nintendo participate in these things would be great. But other third-party manufacturers as well, of making this a thing, of there being a renewed effort for people to find what works, what doesn't work for people. I'll mention one more feature of it too. It's kind of cool, and especially for some kind of prototyping and testing, but also for some people, this will make just playing games a lot more fun for them. There's a mode with this. It's called Copilot, I think, where you can actually link the controller with another, like a standard Xbox controller. And so you can have somebody play with you, that you're both controlling essentially the same controller, that it's all one kind of output stream of information. But you can have somebody else that's able to have a controller in their hand to do things that either aren't accessible to you with the controller, or to tweak things as you're trying to figure out what works and doesn't work.
And
it's go ahead.
That's going to be great fun for us.
Yeah.
That is going to be great fun to sit in the same room. And we've been talking about video content. That's going to be some ridiculous video content. And yeah. And the thing that's going to be amazing to me is that when this starts, you have a daughter now. So for us to sit in the same room and to be able to do this, the funniest part of the video content is going to be me doing everything I can do not to curse while we're playing games, because your kid is in the next room. So,
right.
So yeah, that's gonna be some entertainment, folks.
Yes.
The co-pilot mode really excites me, because again, you and I will be able to play games. Again, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but I thought when this thing comes out, I have to buy an Xbox One X for one reason, and that this is, you know, Microsoft is probably laughing all the way to the bank. What's the one reason to own an Xbox One X, sir?
Huh.
It's Halo.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I gotta play Halo.
Yeah.
Like, when this thing comes out, I'm going to get an Xbox One X, or I'm going to hope that Patreon gets me an Xbox One X, and
right.
I'm going to buy the Master Chief Collection, because
yeah.
I need to play some Halo.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me that we have said that we don't need an Xbox One, but Microsoft's laughing all the way to the bank, because they know they've still got Halo.
Yep.
And you can't play that anywhere else.
Yep. And they know they've got something that's going to expand their market, which is wise. A good idea on their part. So, yeah, they're going to get us. So hats off to you, Microsoft, for that. Well played, friends. So,
absolutely.
I'm excited about it. And just to mention it again, the Patreon link is right there at the top of GamingUncensored.com. So if you're interested in helping fund a trip or helping fund a new controller for us to play around with, please feel free. And again, we promise, as you do, we are going to provide you with content. And so you will get to see all of that in the work. We will post it on the Patreon and other places. And so, yeah, if you're going and giving us some money, we're not only going to be appreciative, we are going to be appreciative, but we're also going to make sure you get some content.
And
as well.
I will say this, if you don't have money, but you have influence and you could put us in the same room as, like, oh, I don't know, Mark Cuban, that we would gladly love to see that happen. So,
sure.
So if you don't want to give us money, that's cool. Give us something else. Find us somebody else that can give us lots and lots of money, so that I can, or we can do this full time. Because the one thing about, I want to do this full time, but the one thing I'm realizing is I have no desire to do it full time if you can't do it full time.
That's fair.
So I
and kind of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because let's go, and we're old school in the fact that we have played games in rooms with other people for most of our lives, right?
Yep.
And that is still my preferred way to play a video game. And I just, for the, if we ever get to a point where we're in the same room on a regular basis and can play games the way that we started, this show is going to get huge again, because that's what made it great. And that to me is the key to everything.
Yeah.
It's just being able to play games together again. And that's what this controller is going to do for us.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. Like I said, whenever I saw it pop up from a couple of people, I think Cabbage posted it and Logan posted it and maybe somebody else posted it over on Facebook.
Nick posted it. Yeah.
Nick posted it.
Nick was really excited. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I saw it, I went, oh, man, that's fantastic. Like, that's a game changer. That's a huge, huge deal. So, yeah, it's something that we will have, that we will be playing with, that you're going to see more of, and will be a recurring thing.
Can we get a pre-order, please, Microsoft?
Right.
Like, you can have my money right now, today. I will click the button.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they talk about it at E3. I think it would be, even though, again, it's a small part of the market, it's a substantial enough part of the market, and it looks good. Take, you know, a couple minutes of your press conference and say, hey, we're doing this and we're really excited about it. I think that would be a really powerful thing for Microsoft to do.
Or,
as long as it doesn't come across as too contrived, which it very much could. But I would love to see more details at E3 about this.
And hey, if you want to make us really happy, do what a couple people have been doing during E3 the last couple years and say, yeah, and it's available today.
Right.
Cause
yeah, that'll change E3 content for us a ton.
I might get up out of my chair and moonwalk if that happens.
That's fair. So, all that being said, we've got a segment from our boy Ty, who's been quite a while since we've heard from. If you remember back, Ty had a 3-hour commute every day. He drove an hour and a half each way to work. That's changed a little bit, so he's going to talk to us about that and about some games, a game specifically that we kind of were hard on, and he's going to tell us why he loves it and why we shouldn't have been as hard on it as we were. So without further ado, here is Ty.
Hey, Jamie and Tommy, this is Ty, the one that used to do the hour and a half commute every day, so 3 hours of driving every day to Jackson, Wyoming. Recently moved to Pendleton, Oregon, took a job here, and now it's only about 10 minutes to work, and I'm loving it. Anyway, and Saturday, and I was listening to the podcast and playing some video games, and I thought it was funny that you brought up Shadow of War, because that's the game I happen to be playing. Just got into the 120-hour range on it. Just wanted to mention that no one should be worried about the loot crates. I know that was a big fuss when it went into it, but it was way overblown. My first playthrough, didn't even touch the loot crate system, didn't even open up the market, nothing. I didn't feel like I was missing anything, nothing at all. Second playthrough, which I'm just about finishing up as I was listening to your podcast, I did dive into it and use it a little bit. It didn't really add much, didn't take away. Honestly, I think if more games did their loot crates like Shadow of War, we'd be in a better place. It's there if you want it. You can use it to your advantage, and it's not necessarily all that advantageous. It's kind of fun to play around with. You can make in-game currency of both types, what you would buy with real money and what you wouldn't, to buy the loot crates at a rate that I felt was pretty steady. I never felt the need to ever spend any money on it if I didn't want to. So if that's the reason why you're not playing it, I would suggest playing it. I loved it. It's a lot of fun. And the loot crates, the whole problem with them was just way overblown. Anyway, love you guys. Congrats on your little girl, Tommy, and take care. Bye.
If you've got something to say, send us an email. It's gaminguncensored@gmail.com.
That makes me happy.
It's nice, isn't it?
Where did you get that?
It's The Legend of Zelda Orchestral Medley 2017 version on YouTube, so who knows?
Holy crap, that's good.
It is good. It's lovely. By the way, hopefully see some new Zelda content at E3, Nintendo. Come on, please.
Maybe, yes. Yes, more of that.
Yes.
That.
I would love more Zelda, so anyway. Congrats, Ty, on not having a 3-hour commute anymore. That sounds like the best thing ever.
Now I'm sort of depressed I'm glad that he doesn't have a 3-hour commute, but I kind of like being the people that kept him awake during his 3-hour commute. There's something wrong in my head there, but I'm like, we helped that dude.
Yeah. That honestly, candidly, when I listened to the segment the first time, I went, I'm kind of sad. and that lasted for a split second when I went, oh, well, this is probably a lot better for him not to be driving 3 hours a day.
Right.
I have like a 20-minute commute that frustrates the heck out of me. And so I would not want an hour and a half commute each way. Doesn't sound fun. So, but also good to know about Shadow of War, because I would really like to play that game. And so if he doesn't think it's a big deal and had a lot of fun with it and never touched the loot crate system, hey, man, I can too. So. As soon as I find time.
Yeah. And again, let me just mention, time is done by more freedom units. Thank you so much.
Yes. You can find how to give us freedom units over on the website, gamingcensored.com, and click on that Patreon link. And while we're talking about it, we'll mention our good buddies, the Patreon supporters over there: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, and Chad. As always, thank you guys a ton for supporting us. Your contributions are helping make E3 happen at all for us this year. E4 happened for us this year in person. If not for having some money available to us, it would have been over the internet, and we've done that a couple of years, and it's not fun. So we're excited to be able to do E4 in person, and that's going to be a good time. So we owe that to you guys. We appreciate it a ton.
That's very good. Now, I feel like if we're going to continue with this fundraising thing, that we need to like maybe get in touch with Ken Burns, because, you know, he always does the PBS fundraiser thing, and I'm like, that guy gets people to call in, so we need to get Ken Burns to come and do a cameo on the show.
That would be amazing. Yeah, I love that dude.
Because that dude's kind of fantastic. And when I said that, I heard the pause in your voice going, where's he going?
Man, if you want to talk Ken Burns, we can talk Ken Burns. Ken Burns did one of my so many good documentaries, but one of my favorite documentaries that I remember from when we were in college, which is the Empire of the Air, I think is what it's called. That's all about the history of radio. That talks about just the Lita Forrest, who invented the vacuum tube, all these guys, Marconi and on of these influential dudes that were part of the radio industry early on, which was a Ken Burns documentary. That's not even like Civil War or whatever, all the other stuff that he's done. That's fantastic. But yeah, if you're nerdy and like documentaries, you should go watch Ken Burns stuff.
You could actually lose about 150 hours of your life, I think.
Absolutely.
If you wanted to.
Easily. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Which random thing on documentaries, I saw something that's going to make you laugh, but it was actually on PTI the other day. Netflix is teaming up with some other people to do a 10-hour documentary on Michael Jordan that's going to be available on Netflix.
Interesting.
So, you know, I'm going to be watching that.
Right.
That Netflix, that's a crazy thing, that thing. And I wish
that was the most wonderfully old man sounding thing. Netflix, that's a crazy thing, that thing. That Netflix thing.
Well, it is. It's freaking nuts, man. If you looked at how much content is on Netflix,
man.
I mean, that's insane.
I sat down the other night to watch. It was one of the things I've been watching significantly less TV with the little girl, but I have this little window of time because I get her to sleep every night. The sexy sidekick and I kind of take shifts, and so I get the first shift of getting her to sleep, and she kind of goes through a cycle of sleeping for 5 to 10 minutes and then waking up for a little bit and sleeping and waking up, and so it takes her a little bit to actually get to sleep, and so that's one time that I have to watch a little bit, and so I have an iPad sitting next to me, my old iPad sitting next to me that I can watch stuff on. While getting her to sleep. And I kid you not, like, I just opened up Netflix, and like by the time like I've just looked through the possibilities of things that I might even be interested in watching, like, she's dead asleep. Like, I'm done with the cycle. I'm like, oh, it's time to go to bed now because she's asleep and I haven't actually watched anything because there's just so much crap on Netflix to try to weed through to find something to watch.
That being said, there's a lot of good crap. He said crap, but there's a lot of good crap.
It is good crap. Yes, that's fair. We just started watching season 2 of Jessica Jones, which I'm pretty excited about.
See, I have been doing some watching on Netflix. I've been taking advantage of the DVD service because one of
you're an old man.
Yes, I am. But you're laughing at me. But think about it this way. You have Gamefly, right? And
sure.
The reason we love Gamefly is because they have everything known to man, like, in existence. The reason that I love the Netflix DVD and have kept it all these years, even though it's insanely expensive, is that they have everything. Because I have a day job and haven't been able to get to the movies as I had been accustomed to, I miss a lot of really good movies, including Thor and some of the other big ones that have come out. And I've been taking advantage of the Blu-ray service to catch up on that. And it has come in really, really handy. Because let's face it, you don't want to go to Redbox and rent all of the DVDs that you want to rent, because you'll go broke.
Sure.
So,
yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
So, yeah, I'm an old man, and that
just cracks me up.
That Netflix thing, that it really is, it's crazy, that thing. And that cabbage, that is your next piece of production, sir.
Well played.
Yes. See how
all that being
see
said.
How I get work out of people. See how that happens.
That's nice.
Yeah.
No, it's well done. Should we get back to the news?
Let's do it.
So some E3 news for you, because E3 is right around the corner. Usually this time of year we have a big lull in news, but taking 3 weeks off at a time helps fill that in. But E3 is coming up, and so we've got some ideas of what the different big presentations are going to look like. We'll see how much they stick to these. And so we talked about Nintendo's actually a little bit on the last show, that they're going to focus heavily on Super Smash Brothers, and they're having a big Splatoon tournament, and so on and so forth. Hoping to see Metroid Prime 4 out of that, like I mentioned, coming out of the segment. Hopefully see some new Zelda from Nintendo and all that. So now we've got Sony. We've got some details about Sony's press conference, and specifically that they are, quote, trying a new format for E3 this year. And so it's not like Nintendo where they're going the like non-live version and then doing the treehouse kind of thing or whatever. They're still going to have a press conference. But they're focusing on four pieces of software. They're going to focus on Death Stranding, which is good because I still have no idea what the crap that thing is. And so hopefully we'll get some more details about that. Spider-Man, the Insomniac Spider-Man game, which I'm super pumped about and excited to see that. The Last of Us Part 2, also very, very excited about. And in a game that I have to admit that I don't know anything about and still don't know a ton about, called Ghosts of Tsushima, which is like a samurai game from the Sucker Punch who did Infamous, which, okay, cool, you know, like, whatever, just hadn't had Ghost of Tsushima on my radar. So those are the four games that they're going to be focused on, quote-unquote, focused on, taking deep dives into. And then apparently they'll have, you know, some third-party games and other stuff in there, but said specifically that they won't have any hardware announcements. That's just going to be a software-focused press conference. So what are your thoughts on the idea of doing deep dives, picking these four titles, and going into them?
I like it, But here's my thing, and that's a phrase that you used to hear all the time. Here's my thing. It's a great idea for a game that I really want to see, but two out of those four, I don't know how much I really want to see. I feel like we're going to get like 5 minutes into Death Stranding and we're either really going to love it or go, that dude's completely out of his mind. And he needs to go do something else, which I hope that that doesn't happen. I love me Samurai game, and for the life of me, I cannot remember the last Samurai game that I played on the Dreamcast. What was the name of that? Oh, Onimusha.
Remember
that thing with the globes? You killed the guys, yeah. You sucked in the globes and you leveled up, and it was really, really cool. I really enjoyed that. That's the last one that I played. And so I like me some samurai stuff, but again, like 10 minutes of that, and I'm probably done. The Last of Us 2, I want like an hour and a half. Okay? Right. And so if you do that, then I'm all good with it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they're going to do that.
Yeah. I hope they do. I hope that that's like the big ending thing that they spend a massive chunk of time on. And if they, Sony usually does about 2 hours. They usually do the long press conference. And so if it's even like 20 minutes on each of these, and then, you know, all the other kind of stuff they fill in between or whatever, I hope that that time allocation is given more precedence to The Last of Us 2. The other three titles, although I'm interested in seeing all three of them. I'm watching a trailer without sound right now of this Ghost of Tsushima thing, and it's pretty, and it, you know, like all that stuff's all well and good, but it's just like, you're gonna have to sell me on it because I don't know enough about this one yet. So we may come away from it going, oh wow, that looks really, really good. It's a era and a style of game that isn't completely new, but we don't see a ton of. There aren't a bunch of mainstream samurai games out there, and so there's kind of a place for it to be cool and a big deal, and maybe could be awesome, or maybe comes off as a, oh, okay, that's going to be appealing to a handful of people, and that those people aren't necessarily us. Either way is fine, but we both know we're going to love The Last of Us 2. We both know we're going to love Spider-Man, and so two out of the four, like you said, are solid. Death Stranding, who the crap knows? Ghost of Tsushima, who the crap knows? But even if they both suck, like, we still get two really good games that we're going to get to see a lot of detail on, and I'm excited about that.
Here's the other thing you need to think about. If this takes away from the other 8 zillion titles that you know that Sony has, like, one thing that they do is montages. Right. And if they're taking this approach, I have a feeling that we're going to get a montage of like four really cool games. And out of that montage, we're going to be like, okay, we want more of that. But they're going to be like, this is all you get. Right. And so I hope that the other titles that they have coming don't suffer because of the new format.
Right. And two points I'd make on that. One of the things I would hope for is that those titles that are coming will hopefully get good stage demos during the actual E3 event time. But two, these are all first-party games, and I think that's wise on Sony's part to say, hey, look at these games that you're going to get only on the PlayStation. And again, two of them being major, major, major blockbusters, and then the other two being kind of wild cards but could be really big deals. Is that Microsoft is going to jump all over, you know, highlighting that third-party stuff that Sony's not highlighting. And so if there's good third-party content, we're probably going to see it in Microsoft's show or the PC gaming show, which we have details a little bit about here in a second or whatever, you know, that there's other space for some of those other games. Now, if Microsoft has the same approach that they're really trying to sell first-party stuff, that may be... maybe where we see some lack of that, but we're also going to get the Bethesda show and the EA show and the Ubisoft show, and so we're going to have the opportunities for all those guys to come out and show their stuff in their conferences as well. And to be honest, one of the things that's kind of annoyed me from the past handful of E3s, especially since all the publishers have started doing their own press conferences, is that we see a lot of overlap, that we'll see a game show up in the Microsoft or Sony press conference that then shows up again in the EA or Bethesda or whatever conference. This may help alleviate some of that, where the EA conference is just stuff that we're not going to see on the other stages, and that'd be fun as well. So I hope we still see everything. Obviously we won't, because we never do at E3. But I think it's an interesting plan by Sony. One thing I'll mention, that this no hardware announcements doesn't necessarily say they're not going to talk about hardware at all, and so parsing the language there a little bit. But that doesn't seem to be a lot of PlayStation VR content necessarily. None of these games, obviously, are as far as we know, PlayStation VR compatible. If that's where their big focus is going to be, it doesn't seem like they're going to be doing a ton of PlayStation VR stuff, which I think Sony's probably got the most popular VR platform at this point. That's kind of anecdotal that I'm saying that, but it feels that way. And so I'm curious to see how they kind of lean into that in some way at E3, if they do.
I'd like to see them lean into it, but they have the same problem that we've always talked about, in that I think their platform is probably the has the most potential for growth. And I think they're putting the most effort into it, which it blows my mind that we don't have a PlayStation VR at this point. We need to spend the money and go out and get that. Yeah. But that being said, there's no way to really show it. There's no way to really say, hey, look what we've got. And I think that, because the one thing that I want to see from Sony is, hey, why do I need PlayStation VR? And I think the thing for them is, if they can figure out a way to communicate that, I really do think, I mean, this is coming from two guys that have Vives in their houses. And
right.
I didn't really mention it. The reason that I went duff crazy at the beginning of the show, it's because I have another headset in my house.
Right.
Thank you, Duff. We have Vives, but the thing is, I don't know how to explain this without sounding weird about it, but I think the most exciting VR content may be on the PlayStation VR. Does that you understand where I'm trying to go?
I do.
That's insane, because we have the best VR platform on the planet at our disposal. But I think from a software standpoint, the software and the reason to play may be on the PlayStation.
Yeah, and it's in part because it's a unified platform, that it's not like the Vive or the Oculus, of being a PC-based device, that it's dependent on the kind of open-endedness of the PC marketplace. Having Sony control what's on their VR headset provides a lot more both quality control, because there's all kinds of just ridiculously terrible stuff. VR-wise, it's on the Steam store, or I'm sure the Oculus store, whatever. But also to be able to promote it and to be able to market it in a direct way, like, say, via a press conference at E3, which there's not as direct of a way for the Vive to do that or whatever. And so they obviously could, but that doesn't tie in with another platform the same way. And so, yeah, I think you're right that it's not the most tech sophisticated VR headset out there, but it probably does have the best software, at least the best offering of software, if that makes sense to distinguish those two things. Like, there may be better games on the Vive, but it's going to be easier and more accessible to find them for the PlayStation VR. And so,
right.
Yeah. It's crazy, but that's true.
And that's, I mean, part of the reason that I don't have an Xbox One X at this point is because all of the software that I want to play is on the PlayStation. Yeah. And that's what they do best. And circling back to the accessibility controller, Sony better come out and say, okay, we're doing that too. I want that, because what Sony is great at is taking what somebody else is doing and doing it better. So I want the Microsoft one to come out, and then Sony's like, yeah, we can do that. Because I would put money on the fact that Sony's accessibility controller, if they choose to do one, will be better than Microsoft's, because that's what they do.
That is what they do.
and so that's what I really want. Like, I'm excited about the Microsoft controller. What I want is a Sony controller, because it will be better. All that being said, I hate to keep reiterating this, because we love all the consoles, but in this generation, software-wise, the PlayStation's where it's at. It just is, period.
Yep.
So,
and before you call us PlayStation homers, we said the exact same thing the last generation about the Xbox 360.
Yes.
I mean, it matters where the good software is, and Sony's got it right now. Not to say that there's not good software in the Xbox One. There absolutely is. But if you have to have one or the other, with the how much is on both, that's cross-platform. For the games we play, you're better off with the PlayStation 4, for sure. Last generation is the Xbox 360. So good for them on switching back and forth. And then you always have to have the Nintendo console, because they're just different enough to make you buy it. So,
yes.
Way to go, Nintendo. good time. So, really quick, I mentioned the PC game show that's going to happen again. No surprise there. Going to be hosted by Sean Day 9 Plot again. And we'll have a bunch of software reveals, you would imagine, and all that kind of stuff. And so it hasn't been a big event or as big of an event as one of the major publisher or hardware manufacturer press conferences, in part because it's not a publisher or hardware manufacturer. It's kind of a conglomeration of a bunch of them. but there could be some really cool stuff there. There usually is at least a couple of games that we get geeked out about in the PC show. And so excited about that. It's happening on Monday, which is a full slate of stuff. The Monday pre-E3 starting. I believe the Bethesda and UB and Sony conferences are all on that day as well. And so,
what is Sunday? Because I'm planning to get to Dallas Saturday night to be available for Sunday.
So Microsoft is the first thing. I'll give you the whole schedule. Let's look at it all, because I just pulled it up. So EA actually happens on Saturday. Stinking EA. They did the same thing last year, too. So they're at 1 o'clock on Saturday, Central Time for all these, so adjust accordingly. Microsoft is at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Bethesda's on Sunday. Bethesda's at 8:30 Central Time on Sunday. And Devolver Digital, who had that crazy press conference last year, is at 10 o'clock on Sunday night. And then Monday is Square at noon, UB at 3, the PC Gaming Show at 5, and then Sony at 8.
Wow.
So back to back to back to back on Monday. And then Tuesday, of course, is Nintendo in their kind of typical time slot now, which is 11 o'clock Tuesday morning, Central Time, for their Nintendo Live. Obviously not going to be a live conference, which that name is super confusing because it's not live, but whatever. But we'll see details from Nintendo on Tuesday morning on their pre-recorded thing that they are going to broadcast then. So That's the conference schedule.
So, I like EA. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing Saturday? That makes
they want to be first. They want to get the jump on everything. Get the new. Honestly, I think this is probably part of what goes into EA's thinking on this. They have to be before Microsoft. Or Sony, but Sony's always that Monday night slot. And so they have to be before Microsoft because they want to be the first one to show some things, you know?
Right.
That they want to make the news of, you know, new Madden feature or whatever it is, new FIFA, new whatever, of stuff that there's a good chance that we'll see pop up or could see pop up in the Microsoft conference, that this is a way to make sure that they kind of leverage their publishing and not give that over to the hardware companies while at the same time being able to come out on stage at Microsoft and saying EA is so great, here's all of our awesome games. It's kind of best of both worlds for them. It's obnoxious, but
Seriously, I'm leaving my house Saturday morning and I'm probably am gonna get to your house about 7 o'clock Saturday night. If I were guessing, so I'll probably miss that, but because the internet will be able to find it.
Sure.
So
we'll get it for sure.
So I was hoping that being there Saturday night would allow us to get everything in, because I knew Bethesda was going to be Sunday, and Bethesda as for me, at least, I don't know if you feel the same way, but Bethesda has turned into a must-see every year.
I agree with that. Last year, we got ridiculed by how much we enjoyed it, but I'm with you there. I think Bethesda's awesome, and so we'll see this year what they come with, what new Skyrim announcement they're going to have. We're going to do some level of prediction show pre-E3, and so one of those that we'll have to discuss is, do we get legit new Elder Scrolls happening at E3 this year? So,
and yeah, be fun conversation. And I'm wondering if there's going to be another Fallout. I mean,
yeah. Is there a new Vegas, like, not Fallout 5, but a kind of Fallout 4.5, like New Vegas was? That would be interesting.
Which, holy cow, if they make one of those and it turns out to be as good as New Vegas was, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Bethesda's must watch.
Yes, absolutely must watch. You know, the other thing that I'm excited about, and I say this because we've been on the air for 2 hours, and this has been fairly easy, but I'm really excited to get to your house and to get set up and to know that I have access to all of the bandwidth.
Right.
And so what I want to be is just like in a room surrounded by screens. And we're, of course, we're going to, because we have the little girl, screens are bad. So, right. So we're going to have to take like little girl breaks, because I hate to admit it, but this year more than any other year, you and I are going to probably last about 20 minutes and we're going to go, okay, break.
Right.
And I can tell you right now, it's going to be cute breaks.
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry. It's not my kid. I understand this, but I know I'm going to turn into a big puddle of goo, and I'm going to last about 20 minutes, and that's going to be it.
Yeah.
So just get ready for that. Gaming Uncensored will have cute breaks during this year's E4.
Absolutely.
And she's not allowed to be around screens, which means we will have lots of, hey, we'll be right back.
Right. Yes.
So
that is 100% accurate.
And let's, I don't feel bad about it.
Nope.
I really don't feel bad about it. And I'm thinking that there will be a point where the sexy sidekick looks at both of us and goes, would you please go back to work? This is my daughter. Would you please go back to work? Because I can't take this.
Yep. That's fair.
That's going to happen, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely.
But,
100%.
See, it's not ever been that way at E3 before, but this year is way different. And I think about, you know, a half a day in, she's going to be like, okay, we're going somewhere, and you guys do whatever it is that you do, but we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
So I'm way more excited about your kid than I need to be.
That's okay. But, she's awesome.
But so. I really...
We will have a good time.
Yes. And with all of that being said, I know we got a couple of things to wrap up, but we do need to wrap up because you've been away for 2 hours and it's got to be driving you nuts.
That's fair. Yeah. So we won't go as long as we used to go, but we have a few things I want to make sure we throw in here. So we'll kind of rapid fire. All that being said, go by the show notes because there's a ton of stuff that we didn't get to. And so make sure you check that out to see stuff that we missed. So really briefly, a game that I hope we see more of, that we're certainly going to see more of, is Beyond Good and Evil 2. Yubi's been out already talking about new details on it, and so I imagine it's going to be a pretty prominent part of their press conference. Including some details which you can go find. They did a big long live stream talking about some combat stuff and some of the kind of space exploration and combat and that kind of thing. That's really interesting, and talking about how they're designing it to have no loads, which means that you can go from a planet to space to planet with no loads.
I don't believe that. I don't know. I don't
believe
that.
But that's their goal, and so that's cool. And it also talks a little bit about the kind of player creation, because you're not playing as a single protagonist, you're not playing as Jade, because this is a prequel, like we learned last year. So you get to design your character. Your character can be a human or can be animal, apparently. All these different types of animals that are anthropomorphic in the Beyond Good and Evil universe, which is cool. You can make them good or bad, or whatever. The way that they keep talking about it is it's super, super open-ended. The more I hear them talk about it, both the more I'm like, that sounds incredible, and that sounds overly ambitious. And I don't know if you're going to be able to pull all of that off.
Well, so. The problem that they have, it's kind of like the same problem that Diablo has, because the original Beyond Good and Evil is so good that by slapping that name on a prequel, they are immediately setting themselves up for failure. Because all this crap that they want to do is awesome unless they can't pull it off. And the way that they have been talking it up for years, and people have been waiting for it, and it's finally going to get here. Like, there's a much better chance that it's going to get here and it's not going to be that great, or not what we expect it to be, because it's Beyond Good and Evil, than that it will actually be good.
Yeah.
And that's what worries me.
I think that's all totally fair to re-emphasize your point. I think the biggest thing the game may have going against it is that it says Beyond Good and Evil in the
right
name, because it's gonna be so radically different from the first game. Like, it's just going to be a lot different, but I think they can pull it off too, and it'd be really cool. And so we're just gonna have to wait and see, kind of thing with it. I'm still hopeful. That's a game that we wanted for so long, and so I'm not giving up hope on it until it comes out and it sucks. And I may go down with the ship on this one. I think that's entirely possible, but I'm going to joyously go down on the ship with this one. I really want to play this game and see what they do with it. So, and maybe they pull it off, and maybe it's fantastic. We can hope.
It's gonna be great. I hope so. Space,
which also is cool. So,
yes.
Nintendo has announced that they won't have a virtual console ever on the Switch, or at least that's not in their plans, which is a bit of a bummer, but they will still have old school games that they release from time to time. They also gave some other details about online services. And so I'm sure that will be a part of what they're talking about at their Nintendo Live or whatever, especially with Smash Brothers is going to be a big deal and needing, I think, an online subscription to have access to multiplayer stuff online. That still seems so weird to me, but we pay for PlayStation Network, and so if Nintendo can do a PlayStation Network like model, and we paid for Xbox Live before that, you're probably going to get us. And it doesn't look like it's going to be terribly expensive, which is good. But still, man, one more thing to pay for is always a bummer.
Well, that's why we need more Freedom Units.
Yes.
that's why we need more Freedom Units. I don't want to pay for stuff either, but can you imagine a PlayStation Network type model that's based around Nintendo stuff and getting Nintendo style free games on a regular basis?
If you just gave me 2 a month classic games on the Switch, I would love you forever.
Right.
You know?
Right. Like, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like,
give me Super Mario World on the Switch, and I'm done. You know? Or give me whatever Zelda game as part of that subscription cost. Like, yeah. That would be phenomenal. I don't want modern stuff. I want the old stuff on my Switch.
Like, I'm sitting here thinking, can you, like, we could spend hours playing Shadowgate.
Just Shadowgate's so good.
Just stuff like that. I mean, that's, you give us that, and we will give you money.
Yeah.
And, like, this coming from a guy that doesn't even play games, but my PlayStation Plus subscription came up last month, and I kind of cringed a little bit because they went up to $60 a couple years ago. So with tax, it was like $64. But after I got over my cringiness, I thought, how many awesome games do I now have access to because I pay for that every year? I mean, when that accessibility controller from Sony does happen, I'm going to have so much stuff to play that it's going to be ridiculous. Yeah. So I don't even feel bad. So Nintendo, pay attention. You can have our money. Just give us what we want.
Very true. One more thing on Nintendo. They are developing, and this is the weirdest thing, a game for mobile devices that's a new IP working with a company called Cygames. They're making an action RPG that's called Dragalia Lost that has dragons and is kind of Japanese RPG looking. Feels, you know, kind of Nintendo RPG-ish. There's a trailer on the show notes if you want to go by and take a look at that. Actually looks kind of cool. It is very weird to see a Nintendo-branded product that doesn't exist in any way on a Nintendo device. But they see an outlet there and have had success, at least to some level, with Pokemon and Mario on mobile devices and going to make a new IP. Good for them.
Just
weird for my 10-year-old self.
It's bizarre to me that the guys that I work with, the big discussion at work for the last month has been around Pokemon, because we hired a new guy that is around their age level, and so they're constantly talking about Pokemon. And I'm sitting there going, man, I wish I cared.
Right.
I wish. Because they play, well, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but they play Pokemon Go during work. They just do. Because our office happens to be a Pokestop.
Nice.
Which I don't think my brother's aware of, but it is. And so that's interesting to hang around three guys that grew up with Pokemon and they actually play the other games on emulators on their computers. That's how much into it they are. And I just look at it and I'm like, I wish I understood. Because I really don't.
Yeah, we just missed it. Just wasn't ours. But aged out of it just barely, apparently. Because it's still, like, I'm blown away by how big of a deal it is. And just missed it. So,
yeah.
For what that's worth. So, a couple last things. No Man's Sky, let me mention this really quick, and I'll give you a teaser why you should go by the website to see the rest of the show notes. No Man's Sky is still chugging along and releasing a pretty massive update that's coming in July. We may see more of it at E3. They may show up at the PC gaming show or somewhere to talk about this. But it's called No Man's Sky Next. It is adding many other things, a multiplayer component to No Man's Sky. So originally when this game came out, one of the things was like, it's this massive world that's all online, but there's a good chance you will never run into anybody else because it's so big. And so you have a chance to meet other people, but there's a good possibility you won't. Now they're going the opposite direction and putting in a multiplayer component to it. So it'll actually put you with other people. And I think it's probably wise. But I just want to say briefly on this, good for them on sticking with this game that had so much promise and then had so many issues when it launched, and they've just kept working on it. This is a free update. They're not going to charge you for this thing. They still want to make this game good, and I appreciate that a ton from them. And so good on you guys for still working to try to make No Man's Sky a fun game to play.
I think it's great. I don't know when we're ever going to have time to play it, but I'm really happy about the fact that they're still working. It's like they are determined with all of their might not to be Spore.
Right? Yes.
Like
with everything they have in them.
That dude's like, yeah, I'm not gonna be that game. So he just keeps making stuff, which I think is pretty interesting. And when we get to the point with this show where we have more freedom units and thus more time, I'm putting No Man's Sky on the short list because we really need to spend some time with it.
Absolutely. Very, very true. And then I'll end with a tease of why you should go by the show notes. So weirdly enough, there were several news stories that kind of happened in pairs that kind of linked together. And so I'll tell you the pairs to make you go find out what the stories are about. But two stories that deal with people going to jail for video game cheating. Seems really intense to me, but okay. Two stories about rating issues, ESRB rating issues, and a game that gets denied rating classification in Australia, which we might have to talk to our buddy Josh about on the next roundtable. Two kind of ends of eras, including Cliffy B's most recent project going out of business, which is a bummer. So maybe we'll see what Cliffy B works on next. And then two video game sequels that I didn't think the originals really merited having sequels, but there they are. And so two games that are getting sequels that may or may not deserve sequels, both of which I think there's a good chance that we'll end up seeing at E3. Again, one of them in the Ubi show. And so Ubi has a lot of stuff that we may be seeing at E3. So yeah, go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, to see those things we didn't get to.
And I promise that they will be up this time earlier than 3 days after the show has been released. I swear to you that will happen. What happened last time was I've gotten to the point where I wait for Tommy to put the show up before I put the show notes out so that I could put the show in the show notes. Cause that seems wise to do that. But you snuck up on me, sir. Like, it wasn't out, it wasn't out, it wasn't out. And then I looked up and the internet was like, it's been out for 2 days. And I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah. So I'll mention, I posted something on Twitter about it because it was weird. iTunes wasn't updating forever. I did everything that I could do to put the show up like I usually do, and it just didn't update and update. I don't know why. And it finally did. But I did post a link on Twitter, and I was like, hey, here's the direct link to the show, because for whatever reason, it's not working. So I think it was probably the fault of iTunes, so I would blame iTunes for that. I don't think it was on you not seeing it. I think it was on iTunes screwing up. I don't know why I did it, but we'll see if it does it again for this show. It was weird.
That was what I was trying to do. I was trying to time it. It snuck up on me, and... So I felt bad. I was like, yeah, the show's out. Okay.
By the way, a little bit of breaking news. So, something happened in the video game world while we were doing the show, which is a bit crazy.
Okay.
A new Battlefield game has been announced, Battlefield 5, which is going to be a return to World War II. So where all things are full circle again, and Battlefield 5 is going to be in World War II.
Okay.
So there we go.
Okay, so my immediate response, and I'm still trying to wrap the show up here because we got stuff to do, but my immediate response to that was, why?
Yeah.
But
and apparently it will have loot boxes after they said it won't have loot boxes. And
I don't really understand.
Me neither.
I like Battlefield, and I still need to play Battlefield 1 because I have access to it, just haven't played it. We like Battlefield. We just don't understand some of the choices they are making with Battlefield. Because Battlefield 1, to me, was a huge deal. And I think going back to World War II was a big deal for Battlefield 1. But if you're going to do that, you don't do it again with the next title, I don't think.
Well, Battlefield 1 was World War I.
Well...
And so it's, yeah.
One of those wars, but weird. you know what I mean, you know.
But Call of Duty just went back to World War II, and so now it feels like they're just chasing Call of Duty catching up or whatever. Which, apparently, Battlefield 5 was announced a while back. But this is more details on Battlefield 5, including as coming on October 19th and all that good stuff, saying that they learned stuff from... like PlayerUnknown Battleground and Fortnite, and so there may be Battle Royale kind of stuff. Who knows? I imagine we'll get a lot more details at E3 about new Battlefield. There's also a guy in the trailer that looks like Kratos, for what that's worth.
You know what? You know what I feel like is going to happen? And it kind of makes me wonder, but... I feel like that there's going to be, like, a lot of what the crap during E3.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but I have this feeling that we're going to see stuff and we're going to go, like, what the crap a lot. Yeah. And it's going to happen more than we want it to happen. And every time that it happens, we'll drink. And
fair.
And so... I think it's going to be a very interesting E3 because I just have this feeling that there's going to be a lot of what the crap.
Yeah.
Which, if it happens, cool. At least it'll keep us on the edge of our seats. But I like that. I was not expecting. But we'll take it because. Yep. These guys know more than we do, apparently.
Apparently.
So.
We'll see. But anyway, there you go. Something happened while we're doing the show.
That does tend to happen. I was thinking the other day, have you ever kept track of the number of stupendous events that have happened while we were on the air doing this show?
Yeah, like, there's been a lot.
Like major world-changing kind of things. And I'm really kind of... I saw an article that said that somebody is predicting that the end of the world again will be June 24th. I think we were on the air the last time the world was about to end. So if it's at all possible, I feel like we need to schedule a show for June 24th to be around for the end of the world, because we were around for the end of the world in 2012.
Yeah.
And I feel like the fact that we're on the air is why the world doesn't end.
I like that idea.
So, yeah.
A lot of responsibility.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that. So, can we just schedule a show for the 24th of June?
That's a good idea. Make sure the world doesn't end.
Have you read that story?
I haven't seen that one. There's a bunch of them. So.
You need to check it out. Apparently, it's June 24th. And this is the last one was the end of the Mayan calendar. And this is the next big one. So, yeah, June 24th, the world is apparently going to end. And if it does, hey, cool. But at least we go out together. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're going to go out, we should go out together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All of that being said, we do need to wrap up. How did all of that being said become our phrase?
I don't know. We need to leverage that somehow, though, because we use it all the time.
Can we trademark that or something?
We need to.
Because we do. We use that a lot. I don't know how that happened. And it's really, really bad broadcasting.
So bad.
Really bad.
But we do it constantly.
Like, I really feel like that every time we say it, Dr. Lee just wants to slap us. It's really bad. But we do need to get out of here. So before we do that, I will say there's about 8 zillion ways to communicate with us. You can hang out with us on Facebook. You can hang out with us on Twitter. You can go to the Patreon and give us more freedom units. You can go to the PayPal and give us more freedom units. That's going to be my thing till the end of E3 is freedom units. We need freedom units for E4. And just to give you a number, we need about 1,000 freedom units before E4 is over. So just to give you a little ballpark there. But that's what we're going to call it till the end of E4 is freedom units. So if you want to help us out there, please do that. You can also be aware that we will be making some adjustments to the website. And I'm so excited because Tommy is spearheading that, which is kind of freaky and it's kind of scary, but you're going to make me look bad, sir, because you doing what you're doing with our website is kind of like Evie looks at me and goes, this is what I want you to do. Why can't you be this forward thinking? So there's going to be major changes on the website. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to look way different. I'm excited about that. And, of course, if you want to send us a segment, we need segments. Segments. GamingUncensored@gmail.com. I'm glad that we had one from our buddy Ty this week. We've had a rash of old guys showing back up lately, which makes me smile, because Ty's been around a while, as well as some of the other guys. So if you want to send us segments, please do so. That would be fabulous. You can also call the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And, of course, you get 3 minutes when you call the voicemail line. So if you get cut off, call us back. And we will stitch it together because we are cool like that. One other thing I would like to mention with the new website and new cool stuff that is happening there, we also need an updated intro. So if any of you guys with production experience want to try your hand at a new Gaming Uncensored intro, somebody mentioned a Yeti with a baby on the Facebook page. I think that's pretty good.
Yes.
That's the only thing that we need to add is whatever you do with the new intro needs to contain the line, a Yeti with a baby.
Yes.
Because I think that's absolutely fantastic. So if you feel like messing around with that, please send that to the email gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right. For right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.